Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. It's Wednesday, 7 o'clock, and we're here around our table, and I hope that you're sitting around your table with your Bible open and ready. This is New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here because every single day is a new beginning. Thank you. Today is Wednesday, December 27th, 2017. This is the last Wednesday of the year 2017, and we're getting ready to go into another new beginning into 2018. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, we have an exciting agenda for you tonight. We have the blessing of Pastor David Reese and his lovely wife, also my daughter, hint, hint, Alicia Williams Reese, here with us around our kitchen table this evening. And we're just having a good time in the Lord. The fellowship has been so sweet this Christmas. And anytime we all get together. But he has acknowledged the request to be our speaker this evening. And we have Brother John sitting right here with me, my darling husband. Hi, husband.
Hi.
Well, I think that my husband wants me to say, to pray. What does he say? Okay. For your phones, if you're listening by phone, please call in. Make sure that you mute your phone when you call in. We'll open it up when it's time for speaking. Remember, we are an interactive Bible study, so we want you to. We're Bible study, not a Bible talk, not a Bible tell. We're a Bible study. So everyone participate. So if you're online and you want to ask a question, you want to add something, because all of us are sitting here ready to learn from the Word and glean from what the Lord wants us to take from the Scriptures this evening. I also want to remind you that if you've missed any of our teachings, that you can go back to the archives, our library, and find teachings on many, many topics. We've been online for, I guess, about
5.
It's been 5 years? Yes. Have mercy. We've been online for 5 years. So that's 5 years and 53 sermons or teachings a year. So that's pretty good. Somebody can do the math for me. There's a math genius. So I want to remind you that you're welcome to come and to listen. Share it with your friends. Give them the phone number. What's the phone number, John? The call-in phone number?
341-237-4054. That's 341-237-4054.
And you can find us, if you're looking for us online, just go to Blog Talk Radio, and then go to New Beginnings Ministries. We can begin again, because we certainly can begin again. We serve a God of second chances. Praise God. Okay, we're going to pray, and then I'm going to introduce our speaker. Is that what you'd like? Father God, praise your name, dear Lord. We praise you and we thank you, Father, because you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Yes, Father.
Because, Father God, you are our Creator. There's no without you, dear Lord.
Yes.
We praise you, dear Lord, because you knew us, Father God, when we were being knitted in our mother's wombs, Father God. And, Father God, you even knew, Father God, where we would be today, Father God, sitting around this table together, Father God, and our listeners, wherever they are, Father God, that they're listening as well. And it was ordained. It was ordained a long time ago that you had planned it. You knew it was going to happen. Praise God.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, for this time. We thank you, Lord, that you would just bless my son-in-law as he prepares to deliver the word, Father God, that he would decrease, Father God, and the Holy Spirit would increase.
Yes.
That he has complete. The Holy Spirit has complete authority over this lesson this evening, Father God, and we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that we walk away, Father God, with the seeds that we need, Father God, to spread and share the gospel to others, dear Lord.
Yes.
We thank you and we praise you, Father God. You're so wise, so merciful, dear Lord, and so kind.
Yes.
Father God, we also pray for those that are on our sick and shut-in list for Billy Dickinson, Father God, for James Hobbs, Diane Hobbs, Stuart Hawthorne, Pastor Paul Robinson, and Minister Bill Robinson, for Diane Hobbs, for Luke Owens, for Renee Owens, and Amber Spratlin. We pray for Patsy Coggins and Ples Matlock, for Annetta Harris, for Edna Davis, and we pray for all of those that are in the nursing homes, Father God, for our elderly, dear Lord, and for our children. We pray for them also and lift them up. We thank you in Jesus' sweet and holy name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Again, Suzanne Clay, and I'd like to introduce my son-in-law, Pastor David Reese. Pastor David Reese is a member of he is a member and the pastor of New Creation Praise and Worship Center in Elkhart, Indiana. This ministry is a deliverance and recovery ministry. He has been in ministry since he was a little boy, just a young type, 9 years old, is when he was encouraged to be meant to minister. This the gifting was called out in him. He was raised by a praying grandmother who encouraged him, who encouraged and introduced him to Jesus and encouraged him to speak the word. He was ordained at a very young age as a teen. Currently, he's under the leadership of Bishop Willie and Prophetess Renee Davis out of South Bend, Indiana. Tonight's scripture comes from 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 10 through 16. The topic or the title of our teaching this evening, are you ready? The blessing of what's left. I'm excited. So hold on to your hat. Here we go.
Amen. I just want to, first of all, thank God for life, health, and strength today. I honor God for my in-laws. I thank God for my mother-in-law, my father-in-law. Thank you for this opportunity that I have. I honor my wife, who is by my side each and every time that I minister, and I praise God for her. I honor also my leaders, my spiritual parents, Bishop Willie and Prophetess Renee Davis, and also our overseer, Apostle R.E. Jones, out of Hammond, Louisiana. But let us get to the word of God for tonight. Amen?
Amen.
We turn to the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 17, beginning at verse number 10 through verse 16. Again, that's 1 Kings, chapter number 17, beginning at verse number 10 through verse 16. Something that I do in our church is I say simply, if we have all habits, we should holler back word.
Word.
All right. Amen. Amen. New creation, I want you to know I love you. All right. 1 Kings 17, verse 10, and it reads this way. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Verse 13, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he in her house did eat that day. Verse 16. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spake by Elijah.
Amen.
Amen. May the Lord add a blessing for the reading, the hearing, and most of all, the doing of his word. In this particular passage of scripture, the theme that I lifted from it was the blessing of what's left. And one of the things that we in the body of Christ seem to not always take note of is what we have left. Well, that sounds good, Pastor, but what does it really mean? This is what it means, simply, that we look at what we have that's not there instead of seeing what we actually have left. Just as we read in the story, we see that this woman has some meal and a little bit of oil. And she's at a point in her mind, first of all I have left is just this little bit, so I can make enough for me and my son, and then we'll die. Never thinking of how to survive off of what she has, she's stuck in this box of not having enough to survive with. And a lot of us, in instances where we feel like we only have a little to use, we feel like we're at the end of our rope. So this is just the end of this. And this is what life is going to be, that I'll always be at the end of something.
All right.
And what God wants us to understand, just like he spoke through the prophet, if you just give first, one of the things that I think we don't pay attention to in this particular passage of scripture is that even though he's saying, give me a cake first, I believe that what God is trying to get us to understand is if we give first.
That's good.
If we just give first,
Amen.
Not only will we put ourselves in a position to receive, but we put ourselves in a position where God is able to show himself strong in someone else's life. They'll see that someone else has the heart of God and believes that it shouldn't just be me and my four and no more.
Right, right.
That as the body of Christ, we're supposed to come together. And when I'm in want, someone else who has should be able to say, well, Pastor, I see that you have a need in this area.
Right.
Let me give you what I have in this area. That's what we're supposed to do in the body of Christ. But just in this first few verses of scripture, we see that this woman has the mentality that I'm just going to survive for me and my son. I'm making just enough that we might survive. But then she says, and die. So when she says eating, she's meaning to survive or to last just a little bit longer. But then she says, and, which is a conjunction or continuation, die. So I'm going from a place of having enough to being empty. That's what death would represent. It's empty. You have nothing left. Dr. Miles Monroe made a very famous statement. He said, I want to die empty. I don't want to have my life end and I still have something left to give. What we tend to do in the body of Christ is we look at what we have, and I don't have enough to share with my neighbor who's in the same spot that I'm in. I've only got enough for my house. But if we just give, if we would just give, it will put us in a position to receive. My grandmother used to say, a closed mouth can't get fed.
Amen.
It's like a closed hand can't receive a blessing.
Amen.
So if we're always holding on to just what we have, we don't put ourselves in a position to be blessed. And that's where this woman was. She, in her mind was closed to the idea that they might just live, that God was going to do something. He was going to show up in some way. And a lot of us in the body of Christ, a lot of people in the body of Christ are in a place right now where they feel like they've got nothing left. I just have enough for me to survive. I just got enough gas for me to get to church. But what about the next door neighbor who sees you go to church every Sunday or every Wednesday, and you know that they're in a place where they need God, but you only have a little oil left. You only have a little fuel left to get you to church. something to think about. Because a lot of times when we feel like we're in a desperate place or a place of despair, we become selfish. We become selfish and we start to think of, it's just me.
Amen.
How can I survive through the night if I just have a little bit left? Mm-hmm. As I said, her mentality is at this place. She's stuck. This is why I keep repeating it, because I want us to really get the fact that this woman was stuck in this box of believing that this was the end of her life. She was going to eat some cake. Her son and her would survive for whatever length of time that food would last in their bellies, and then they were going to die. But see, I like to call when Elijah shows up a divine interruption to a plan. Because he shows up while she's gathering the two sticks that she needs to make this cake, which is supposed to be her death cake, if I can title it that way. She's supposed to make this death cake. This is the end of what I have. I'm going to use all that I got to make sure that my son and I can be full enough to last at least a little while longer. But I know the end result is that we'll die. But the prophet interrupts her plan, and he says, well, give me the drink. That's the first thing that he says. And water is a representation of the Holy Spirit. And
Amen.
Oil is a representation of the anointing of God.
Amen.
What she didn't realize is that even though you have a little oil, mm-hmm. you got enough anointing left in your house that's going to keep you.
Amen.
You got just enough left in your house that'll keep you if you recognize what you have.
Amen.
If you recognize what you have. But he says to her, fetch me a drink first. So not only am I asking you to bring me something, I'm asking you to bring me something specific, which is a representation of the Holy Spirit. I'm asking you to refresh me with a cup of water. Even though you're in a desperate place, if you refresh me in a desperate place, see what God will do for you. And while she was on her way to get the water, he calls to her again. He says, could you bring me a morsel of bread? Oh. So he wanted some water, which is a representation of the Holy Spirit, and bread, which is the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I don't think they really pay attention to the two things that he's asking for. He's not just asking for any two things. He could have just asked for wine.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also a representation of the blood of Jesus Christ. But he says, bring me some water and some bread. He was asking, literally, if we look into the story, if we dissect the scripture, we'll see he's literally asking for the presence of God. Because he's asking for the water, which is a representation of the Holy Spirit that'll fill him up and give him some energy. Then he asked for a morsel. He didn't even ask for a big piece of bread. He said, bring me a morsel of bread. I need the body of our Lord and Savior. I need something that's going to sustain me.
I like that.
I got energy, but I need something to sustain me. Mm-hmm. This is why there's certain foods that our families eat during the winter time. Something that'll stick to us, as they like to say. Something that's going to help you to continue to go forward.
Mm-hmm.
So without the water and without the bread, he still would be in a desperate place.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting is while she's on her way to get it, he calls to her. And some of us would be like, well, you just asked me to get you some water. Now you want me to make you some bread? You want me to bring you some bread? She says, well, I don't have enough for that. I only have enough oil and enough meal in the barrel for me and my son. Only enough for us to survive for a moment, and then we'll die.
Mm.
For the moment. Our bishop said something about moments. The thing about moments is a whole life-altering situation can happen in a moment. And this is what she didn't even realize is that the moment she went to get the sticks was a moment that was going to alter or change the course of her life.
Mm-hmm.
How many people have we met in our lifetime that we just bumped into at the grocery store, or we seen as we were coming and going, that made an impact, an instantaneous impact on our lives, and we didn't realize it until after it was over?
Mm-hmm.
He says to her, well, bring me the cake first. And when she brings to him the cake, the Bible lets us know that not only does the meal not go bad, but there's enough oil that continues. Mm-hmm. Some way, somehow, this oil that was supposed to just been a little bit to last becomes much more than what she expected.
Mm-hmm.
If you just do what is right, if you just give, it'll cause a blessing, an overflow blessing to happen in your life. So the blessing of what's left is God puts us in a position to give more.
Mm-hmm. Amen, amen, amen.
And I think that's something we don't recognize in the body of Christ, that God always puts us in a position to give more.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like less to us, but it's more than what someone else has.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we like to say, oh, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And that is true. Because if you give something away, you make room for God to give you more.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Are there any questions, any comments, any concerns?
Oh, man. I'm having a good time.
Hey, man, the mics are open if you have any questions for the pastor. Praise the Lord.
Well, let us continue. Can we go back to verse 10? Because that's mainly where I was just at. I like to go through the scripture. In verse 10, the Bible says, so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now, before verse 10 is when God speaks to him and he tells him, I'm going to send you to a city and there's a widow woman there that is going to sustain you because I commanded her to do so.
Amen.
So even in her mind where she believed, well, I'm just going to make this cake and I'm going to die, something in her said, well, I've got to obey God first.
Mm-hmm.
How many of us have overridden when God spoke to us
mm-hmm.
and told us to do something for someone else? First.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God, I only got a little bit. And it's just me and my house. That's all I got. We overrid the Holy Spirit, not knowing that the blessing of what we had left was going to cause us to not only sustain, but to continue to sustain. There's another story in the Bible where there's a woman, the Shunammite woman, who has her son that was prophesied to her, and I believe it's in chapter 5 of 2 Kings, I believe, she asked God not for a son, she just wanted to sustain the prophet. She says to her husband, let's build a room on the wall for the prophet so that when he comes into the city, he has a place to lay his head. She said, not only do that, but let's put a stool and a candle and a table so that he can write. She made a place of sustaining for the prophet. And some of us don't make room for God
mm-hmm.
because we think our situation is so comfortable
mm-hmm.
that we don't really need God to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where this woman was, because when the prophet even asked her, she said, I dwell among my own people, and I'm okay. But what Gehazi noticed is that her husband was old.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband was old and she has no child. This is what he says to the prophet. She has no child. Her husband's old. So what is she going to do when he dies? Because in that time, women, if they didn't have a son,
mm-hmm.
someone, a protector, if they didn't have a protector, they were in a vulnerable place.
Right.
So the prophet calls her to the room and notice the strategic place that she stands. She stands in the doorway. She's on the outside, but also on the inside.
That's so good.
And in between that place is where God is making a move.
Mm-hmm.
We always have this tendency of thinking we're on the outside of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not understanding that God put us in a place in the doorway. Because even though we can't get fully into a situation, we're on the outside just enough to be able to see what's really going on. Because if we're in the middle of something, we don't really see what's going on. We focus on that center, the mm-hmm. point that we're mm-hmm. in, which is mm-hmm. the eye of the storm. We don't see what's going on around us.
Oh,
and
good.
See that even though we're in the middle of a storm, even though we're in the middle of tragedy or we're dealing with grief, we're in the middle of that place. We don't see what's going on around us, that everything else is now starting to settle. Because
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
when the storm is at its highest, that's when you get to the center or it's starting to pass over. Just like with these hurricanes that have recently come through. When Houston went through this hurricane, notice that it only caused flooding in certain areas of Houston.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't flood the entire city. And as tragic as it was, we got to look at what God is trying to say to us. He prevents complete devastation, even though some things had to happen. And it's a very sad thing, but there mm-hmm. are certain things that have to happen to get us to recognize who God is.
Amen.
And sometimes, it's not that God doesn't care about us, but he has to take away from us the thing we love more than him.
Mm-hmm.
In order for us to recognize who he is, he says in the book of Exodus, I believe it's in chapter 20, he says, "For I am a jealous God, thou shalt not have any other God before me." We can put our children before God. We can put our spouses before God. We can put our jobs, our houses, our cars before God. And then all of a sudden, stuff starts to break down.
Mm-hmm.
God, he doesn't operate like that. Nothing goes before me. Nothing goes before me. So this woman is at the doorway. She's at the brink of a miracle, but at the outside of disbelief or unbelief. Because on the outside is her unbelief, because she's cool with the way she lives. She's in a comfortable place. She's prominent amongst her people. So she deals with those that have money in the region. So she feels like, I'm safe, I'm secure. But here is the thing, because the prophet already knows that if your husband dies, you lose all of this, because this goes back to the city.
Mm-hmm.
She don't have anyone to protect you. And Gehazi says, well, she doesn't have a son. She needs somebody to take care of her. And the prophet says to her, about this time, in the next year, you will hold a son. And the Bible declares in those next few verses, she knows her husband, and then she gives birth to a son. A few verses later, the Bible says he is out with his father, and he says to his father, my head, my head. He goes to his mother. He goes to his mother and he dies on her lap. Any mother would be. When her child dies, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. She knows that her child is dead because there's no life left in it. But notice what she does. She goes back to the place where it was prophesied that she would receive it. She takes her child back to the prophet's room, the place where the prophet lays his head. She recognizes there's got to be something in this woman. So she takes him back and she lays him not just anywhere. She lays him on the bed where the prophet lay. Some of us feel like because we're at the end of our rope, we can't take what God spoke to us back to him. That's not the case. God is not that kind of God. He says, remind me of what I've already spoken. Tell me what I said to you. Remind me of my word, because my word cannot go void. I will not allow it to go out and come back to me void. It's got to have something with it.
That's
how many of us have really heard the word of the Lord and then we felt like it just didn't happen? Here is the thing. All prophecy is conditional. It is the condition of the heart or the condition of our belief. Because if I prophesy a word to you that comes from God, number one, it has to come from God. Number two, if your heart is in the right condition, then you can receive it. This is what the woman deals with in chapter 5 of 2 Kings. She deals with this because her heart's in the right place, even though she says, I really don't want this thing because I'm okay, but something in her says, I need it.
Mm-hmm.
So her belief kicks in when something in her says, I need it. But now she's in a place where her child has died. Now, if we go back to 1 Kings 17, this woman says, me and my child will die. But this woman in chapter 5, her child is dead. Her promise is already gone, so she says. But But I like how her faith kicked in when her doubt tried to overtake her. And when her husband asked her, is all well? She said, everything is fine. Bring me the fastest horse. So she gets on the fastest, I'm paraphrasing, she gets on the fastest horse and she goes back to the prophet, the one that gave to her the word that she would hold this son, that she would bear a son. And on the way, you're not the one I got the word from. You were the one that called me into a position where I could get the word, but you aren't the one that I got the word from.
Talk.
I need the one I got the word from. So she goes to the prophet. She says, hello. My son is dead. The promise that you said, what happened to my life? And it did, and I held him, and I caressed him, and I birthed him, and I nursed him, and I nurtured him. But he got to the place where he was able to talk to tell me that his head hurt, and then he dies in my lap. And the Bible is very strategic because the Bible says that he dies about noon, the highest point of the day, when the sun is at its highest and it's the hottest. So some people like to say, oh, well, he had a heat stroke. We don't need to know all of that. All we need to focus on is the fact that this baby that was promised to this woman died. This other woman in chapter 17 says, not only am I going to make this cake, but this is going to be the end of me. So she had a vision of death already. This other woman sees death. I really want you to get this. This woman in chapter 17 envisions death because she says, we're going to eat this cake and then die. But in chapter 5 of 2 Kings, this woman holds death in her hands. Because her baby is dead. Here is the key about these two women. The one woman in chapter 17 in 1 Kings meets the old prophet, Elijah. The second woman meets the new prophet, or the young prophet, Elisha, who not only has his own anointing, but he has the anointing of his predecessor.
Amen.
Boom. That's
it's
good.
About having the anointing of your predecessor. Here's a plug. Stick under your leadership. He has the anointing of his leader, and he says the whole time that he's dealing with his leader, he says, I want a double portion of your anointing. Now, here is what we don't really take into account. When we ask God to anoint us, we don't really know what we're asking for. When he says double, he doesn't see along the way he's going to have to go through twice as much.
Amen.
But this anointing means something. This anointing will do some things that he never expected to happen in his life. But those of us that are in ministry, we want to take off running because someone told us we could do the way. The blessing of what's left is knowing where to be and how to be in the right place. Number one, on where to be and how to be in the right place. Because these two women are in the right place, but in traumatic or tragic situations. Very tragic. One says, she speaks out of her mouth, me and my son are going to die after we eat this cake. The other one is dealing with a situation where her son, her promise she gave birth to, the prophecy that she held in her hand, died. What do I do from here? I know. I go back to the one that gave me the word. She goes back to the prophet and she
so
says,
good.
My son is saved.
That's so good.
He gets on his horse and he goes, he says, you know what? I won't go. Let me send Gehazi. Because Gehazi has been following me long enough that he should be able to catch on to my anointing. Gehazi goes and he lays the stick on the baby that's supposed to come to life. But Gehazi, I imagine, this is my spiritual imagination. This is nothing that I've seen in the scripture. But I believe Gehazi got frustrated because the baby didn't get up. Well, I follow what the prophet said. Why didn't the baby get up? Here is what we must remember. We got to be careful of listening to those that didn't give us the word of God.
Oh, that's good. That's
because
good.
He put us in a dangerous position for what we're asking God to do is still dead.
That's good. That's right.
Say that again.
We have to be careful of who we go back to about the word that we received.
That's right.
Because if we follow their instruction and they didn't give us the word, our situation is still dead.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, nuh-uh, that's not it. I need you. You are the one that gave me this word.
Gave me the word.
That spoke to me. That said that this child will be a part of my life. You never said that this child would die. You said this child would be a part of my life. So I need you to do whatever you need to do, as any mother would, about her child. I need you to do whatever you need to do to bring my son back to life. And in that story, he stretches out, the Bible says, he stretches out on the child, nose to nose, face to face. Didn't work the first time. And I believe, if I'm correct, it's about seven times that he stretches out on this child. And the Bible says he sneezes, I believe, three times. He sneezes. And then he comes back to life.
Come on, brother.
He sneezes. So, and we all know when we sneeze, we jerk forward. So this child is jerking himself back to life because the Spirit of God is now resting in him. Nothing comes back to life without God.
Amen.
Amen.
A dream
Amen.
Will not come back to life without God. The blessing
That's
of
good.
What's left is it took God to bring this meal and cause it to continue.
Mm-hmm.
She kept looking at the end of this barrel that's supposed to be empty, but the meal won't run dry. It didn't waste. The oil is still here. What is going on? But her relationship with God is impacted. That's what we're supposed to be able to do. Is to cause someone's relationship with God to increase.
That's good.
And we're only able to do this if we're in the right position and we're under the right leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Elijah learned from God, but Elisha learned from his predecessor.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to be in the right place at the right time and obedient to those that have rule over us or leadership over us that will cause us to operate in our anointing to its fullest capacity.
Mm-hmm.
We'll step out of place or out of line. That we can put ourselves or someone else in a dangerous position. This is why you can't go everywhere and eat from every table.
Amen.
You can have a potluck and everybody can fry chicken. Somebody's chicken's going to end up soggy. Somebody's chicken's going to be too hard. Somebody's chicken's going to be too salty. Somebody's chicken's not going to be seasoned enough. But they all did the same thing. But they followed whatever recipe they learned. So just because it looked right doesn't mean it's always good for us.
That's good, Pastor. That's good.
Are there any questions, any comments? Amen. I want to jump down to verse 13. Verse 13 says, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail. The cruse of oil. I want to go to the dictionary really quickly. I looked up the word cruse of oil, and this is what the word cruse means. It means a small vessel as a jar or pot for holding a liquid such as water or oil. Water or oil. And we all know that oil and water don't mix. That's what science has proven, that oil and water don't mix. One stays on top of the other. But you need oil and water in order to be anointed.
Amen.
Because you need the Holy Spirit on the inside. I believe this is why they don't mix. One is supposed to be inside and the other is supposed to come in. anointing should cover you. This is why he says, fear not. Do what thou hast said. Go ahead and do what you said you were going to do. Make this cake. Make me a cake first. I don't need a large cake. Just bring me a little cake first. She tithed off of what she
thought was
her last.
Yes. I was going to say that.
Because she took 10% of the cake
that
she was going to make and gave it to the prophet.
She gave her first fruit.
That's blood. That's
great.
We have to recognize that when we give, the Bible says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. But we got to give first. So she gave her time, what she had, because she didn't have money. She didn't have money. She had oil and meal to make a cake. That's what she had. So she tithes off of this, and it puts her in a place where she doesn't run out.
You better teach this.
And a lot of pastors, we don't really take a time to really look at this story and see how she tithes off of what she has. And then nothing fails. We always go to Malachi chapter 3. Will a man rob thee? Yet you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings. See, when I open the windows of heaven and pour you out to a blessing, somebody that you don't have room enough to receive. We know all of that, but we forget about the other stories in the scripture where God shows us if you just give first, it'll put you in a position where you don't run out. Throughout the scriptures, God reminds you, just leave. I will never allow you to run. You might be down to your last, but you won't run out. Might be down to my last, but I'm not going to run out. You'll use the little bit of that I have. And the key to that is the word obedience. Because she obeys the word of the prophet. And the word obedience is defined this way: an act or an instance of obeying. Okay. An act or instance of obeying. And the word obey, this is what it means: to do what someone tells you to do, or what a rule, a law, or etc. says you must do. Another definition says to follow the commands or guidance. Obey. The Bible declares to us, children, obey your parents to the Lord, for this is right. This is the thing that will not only bless you, but it will bless everyone that comes from you. The first commandment with promise says, honor thy father and thy mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Some of us don't honor our father the way we should. And this is why we end up with our last. If we get first,
wow,
we don't have to worry about that.
That's good.
Matthew 6 and 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, all of these things shall be added unto you. If you just go to him first, no, we call our friends first. Like this woman, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram. We go to all these other sources first. We go to our TV pastors. When for real, they're not the ones that are responding to you, even though it's a picture of their face and it says their name, they're not the ones responding to you. That's a staff member. But that's who we go to instead of going to our man or woman of God that is already placed over our life. We'll pull and pull and pull from them when we want something, but not when we need something.
Oh, that's good.
Because it's our power. pastors just so happen to be in the office of a prophet. We'll hear the prophecy. We'll receive the prophecy. But when we're in a pinch and we need a word from God and the word we receive is not the word we want to hear, well, pastor must have been off.
Mm-hmm.
That couldn't have been God. No, you ask God to give you a word. And sometimes the word that God has for you is a word of correction.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that he chastises those whom he loves. If God is going to have to straighten you out, why would he not tell your leader? This is an area in their life where they're not all the way where they need to be.
Amen. Amen.
I want to open it up for questions and comments. We only have a few minutes left.
The mic's open if you have any questions. All mics are open. All I can say is when no one is talking, that means everybody is enjoying the food.
So, verse 14 says, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth the rain upon the earth." Verse 15 says, "And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days." Because she came first, she put herself in a position to receive for many days until God sent rain in the land, which lets me know that they were in the middle of a drought. This is why she was at the end of what she had. God shows up in the most unlikely times during a tragic situation.
Oh, that's good.
The city is in a drought. They're in a drought. There's no rain. There's no dew. So all of the crops are dying. But she needs food for her and her son.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband obviously is not on the scene, so I'm just in my mind, I believe that he has died. So she's in a place where she's a widow and she has her son, her young son.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a place when it's just me and someone who can't feel for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But I gave, and it caused me to be in a position where I didn't run out until it rain came.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The blessing of what's left.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Blessings of what's left.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
That's a sweet word.
Any comments on the blessings of what's left? Any comments? Any comments? Amen.
Pastor, all I'm so froggy. Pastor, all I can say is you really took us there. You defined, you dissected everything, the water, the bread, the first fruits. And my mind is going to, excuse me, my mind is going to where she didn't have anything, hardly anything, and she gave out of what she had. She gave her first fruit. And God blessed it. So when we're at our least and God instructs us to give, we're to give. Because we can't beat God's giving.
Absolutely.
My mind is going to how long, as long as the earth remains, there will be always seed time and harvest. And she gave of her seed. And God gave her the harvest above and beyond what she gave. This was a powerful word. I wasn't so froggy, I'd go deeper. This was a powerful word. All I know is I took notes.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Excellent word. The blessing.
All I can say is, again, you know, when we're sitting here and being fed, anytime anyone is not saying anything, then everyone is enjoying the word. So that's the beauty of it.
So much.
You know, I find him to be a young man who is young and who is sold out for the Lord. And that's one of the beauties of being able to hear youth in the midst of sharing the word of God. Normally it's just those of age, you know, and I say of age so I don't have to say older or old because no one's there. But when we start talking about the youth, our youth, we say that our youth, we're losing our youth. Then we begin to start to hear a powerful word from the youth. We need to think about that. Okay, we need to think about that. You know, they're on fire for the Lord, on fire for the Lord. And that is a blessing to the kingdom. That is a blessing to the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of those millennials you talk about.
Amen, amen. One of the millennials. Millennials are 17 through 35. All right, he's definitely not 17. He's definitely not 35, so you can do the math.
Right there.
Praise the Lord.
You know what you said? When you said that that it was a divine interruption.
Oh, I like
that. She was making her death cake.
Mm-hmm.
You said that is like, goodness, it was like a death cake.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you go on to verses 14 and we see that she's able to make more and more cakes, that when she submitted to the prophet and did what the Lord had asked, what the Lord was saying for her to do, she had everlasting cake, everlasting life cake.
She gave first.
She was obedient. Praise God. And I wrote that down. Well, I wrote down a lot, but I wrote that one in the Bible.
Thank you.
faith.